Your dreams, ambitions, and priorities are what make you unique. With Associated Bank Private Wealth, we've got you. Our personalized approach to wealth planning puts your goals at the center of your plan. Visit associatedbank.com/private wealth. Member FDIC.
It's Thought Leader Thursday here on The Opening Bell. We do that every Thursday, and we have a thought leader, a new thought leader every week from Associated Bank. Today, Greg Worsak is here. He's the SVP and Senior Regional Manager for the Chicago market for commercial real estate at Associated Bank. Greg, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be back.
I'd like to start with some developing news. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing about this development at Lincoln Yards, is what it's going to be called. Some of the buildings there as tall as 800 feet. There's going to be a soccer stadium and other things. This is a pretty big deal. I know we don't want to get into the weeds on it, but I'd like your opinion about it.
You know, I think it's probably one of the most notable projects in Chicago that people are monitoring pretty closely, because it's, you know, whether they get Amazon there or not, I think it's kind of a game changer in terms of, you know, infill development of scale. And I think it's going to draw a lot of interest from tenants and people that want to live there.
The fact that you bring up Amazon is important. I've been following they had a public meeting about this recently, and we're not hearing a lot about Amazon anymore. It seems that's sort of fallen off the headline, but that's an interesting point that you've made.
Everybody's, you know, they're still monitoring the Amazon situation. I think, you know, a lot of people are speculating at which cities are the front runners. I think Chicago continues to get mentioned in the, you know, being in the top three, top five. But certainly this site is one of several in Chicago that are appealing and would be a great fit for them. And I think Sterling Bay continues to position that project well in terms of some of the things that they're doing with design.
It's going to be interesting to follow. We'll talk more about this, I'm guessing, going forward if it comes to fruition. But you kind of move the city. You talk about these big buildings. You move it further north. That's pretty exciting. It's because you're kind of expanding the city footprint.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's no coincidence that a lot of the growth in the city is along the river. It's going south. It's going north up into this area. And I think you're going to continue to see that growth kind of work its way up. And the site is pretty cool. If you can figure out the transportation, and now you've got a soccer arena, a lot of different venues that I think will be pretty attractive to, you know, tenants and people in terms of a great location to live and work.
One of the other big stories is the boon in office sales in 2018. This just sort of jumps off the page at you when you see this. So far this year, $3.3 billion. For last year, the whole year was $3.1 billion. That's a good year so far, and there's still months to go.
Yeah, I look at those statistics and I sometimes scratch my head because, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows, and I'm not sure how big of an indicator of the strength of the real estate market that really is, because it's really about supply and demand. You never know when investors are going to put office buildings on the market and say, okay, we're done with our hold period, it's time to exit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is that an indicator? I think it is, to the extent that things are trading once they hit the market. There's plenty of buyers out there. There's a lot of capital. So I think it's another indicator that the commercial real estate industry in terms of investment sale market is still very healthy. But you just never know when banks, when landlords are going to say it's time to exit.
Right. And part of, I think, what you're saying is that pushing these numbers up are a couple of the big deals that have gone through. Sterling Bay, one of them, one of their deals was, $680 million?
Yes.
So that pushes that total up.
Absolutely. And, you know, who would have known that 600, was Chicago was going to go on the market, or even Prue or some of the, you know, John Hancock. These are big spaces mm-hmm. that hit the market, and they hit all at once, and there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of capital, like I said, in the market. So there's certainly plenty of buyers that are interested.
Am I hearing you say also that you would have better feelings about the health of the market if there were a lot of smaller deals happening, or no?
You know, some of these bigger ones actually, like you said, drive these big numbers. I keep getting back to the whole supply piece here. It's most of the investors get into these buildings. They have some horizon of investment that they want to be in them, 3, 5, 7 years. It could be a fund. It could be private money. Sometimes it's long-term investors that never want to sell. So you just never know what properties are going to hit in any given year that's going to create that surge, that ebb and flow in the market.
Well, one of the other indicators of how well things are going, perhaps, is the office vacancy rates. Those seem to be dropping, especially in the city center, indicating that the downtown area is at least doing pretty well.
Yeah, the new developments for sure are leasing up really, really well, and I think that's location-driven. You know, great design, very efficient layout that you can achieve with new construction. I have to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised that the vacancy is going down because a lot of the tenants moving into those new buildings are, you know, more central CBD in Chicago. And I had some concerns that space was going to be backfilled because a lot of it's tired, needs a lot of capital improvement. Tenant improvements, to attract new tenants. Mm. So that's a good sign.
The figures I saw, the city center vacancy rate 4.4%, the metro area 6.4% vacancy rate through the first half of 2018. How would those compare to other years?
Definitely down quite a bit. I mean, those are pretty significant improvements, reductions, and you like to see that. It's a great trend.
Are you seeing any movement in those? You mentioned just then some of these areas need some of these capital improvements. Are you seeing any move to do any of that in any of these locations? Any plans in the works?
We haven't seen any, but that's not to say that it isn't occurring. I think a lot of people with some of the space tend to like to try to find the tenants with the promise of doing the work once they find the tenant that's willing to do it. You know, so they have renderings. They have, if you sign, here's the things that we're committed to doing. But it's on a speculative basis to go in and put in several million dollars in capital improvements and some TI. It's I'm not sure people at this point in the cycle are willing to take that risk.
The story that we found on vacancy suggested that the suburban vacancy rates have improved, but didn't give any firm numbers on that. What are you seeing in the suburbs? Are you hearing anything in the suburbs?
So in the retail, that was specifically, I think, that was alluding to, and I'll be honest with you, that was a bit surprising to me too. They were specifically retail vacancy rates. And, with the recent announcement of Toys R Us and Fresh Market and some other retailers continuing to shutter stores, the fact that overall vacancy retail in the suburbs went down was in the second quarter of this year was surprising to me.
I think the number that they said was, 7%. Was the vacancy rate in the suburbs? That seemed pretty good.
It's really good. Yeah. And, to me, I personally believe this whole e-commerce, everybody getting themselves worked up that it's the end of retail is overblown. I think it's just another mechanism for retailers that are creative and understand their business to deliver to the consumers. I don't think brick and mortar are going away.
Funny you should say that, because we have found an article from Real Estate Journals, the 6 commercial real estate myths debunked. And guess what? That's number one. Brick and mortar retail is being replaced by e-commerce. They don't believe it either.
No, I don't. It makes for great press. You know, it was fun to talk about it and say it's the demise of retail. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's department stores, apparel, things of that nature are the ones that are really struggling, or those retailers that haven't adjusted their business plan to the changes in the market are going to go away. And that happens every year. That's not new. But I think there's a lot of great examples of where e-commerce can supplement bricks and mortar. For example, you know, if you go to Nordstrom's you buy certain things. There's certain things that you know that you can just go online and buy, mm-hmm. but other things you might want to go there to try on.
Yeah, and I saw a really cool article recently that says that the brick and mortar retailers are getting hip to this now. And so what's going to happen going forward is you go into, let's say, a Nordstrom, and you have that online experience right there. So they may not have the inventory that you need, but you go in and there's sort of this, however technically they do it, where you find what you need, order it online, it shipped to your home.
Yeah, and I think that's a trend that's going to continue. Restoration Hardware has done a great job of executing that model. They've closed a lot of stores and created really these shopping experiences. We have one in River North where They have everything on display. You can sort of see what it looks like. There's a place to get, you know, a glass of wine as you're shopping. You can eat there. And it's been a tremendous success. And you pick out what you want, and it gets shipped to you.
I know that this article specifically talks about the Magnificent Mile, but there are all places all over the city and the suburbs where this sort of revitalization is happening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk about one of these other myths, because I am surprised by this. I hadn't heard this, but some people have been saying that foreign investors were perhaps souring on commercial real estate in the U.S. We've had this conversation before, and I've not heard that till I saw this article. And you probably don't believe this either.
I don't. Yeah. In Chicago and really on the coast, you can continue to see significant investment in commercial real estate by foreign investors, and it may not always be direct. It oftentimes will come through advisory funds and things of that nature. But the reality is that myth is coming because of all the press that's coming around China wanting to pull back. They're coming down on some of the companies to divest and cut back on their foreign investment. The reality is that there are a significant number of foreign investors besides China, so they're not the only one. And so I think that's where that myth came from, is just the press around China.
Yeah, and one of the other myths, too, is, and this goes back to our conversation earlier, that the suburban office locations are no longer desirable. I mean, the data that we just talked about sort of disproves that as well.
Yeah, there's, suburban office, there's still higher vacancy than downtown. Location is key, being in the right submarket. Access to transportation, especially coming out of the city, is a big deal. For example, I would say Rosemont is probably one of the stronger suburban office submarkets, largely because you have the Blue Line that can bring millennials out of the city. So there's still a lot of companies that want to be in the suburbs. But again, you read the press, and it's announcements every week, every month about another company moving downtown from the suburbs.
One of the other myths, too, and we've talked a lot about millennials on our thought leader conversations, is that they're going to be the future of demand for multi-housing. What are your thoughts on that?
They're certainly going to be a big chunk. There definitely seems to be an aversion to ownership by this segment of our population, but our experience from financing new apartments around Chicago is that there is a surprising surge from empty nesters. Instead of downsizing into a condo or a smaller home, we're seeing a lot of empty nesters sell their home, take the money off the table and rent, and maybe use some of that money to buy a house in Florida or Arizona, or buy a bigger home in those markets and maintain flexibility as empty nesters, as renters. It's less capital investment, less work, less hassle. You turn the key and you leave. And a lot of them aren't sure where their kids are going to land, so that gives them the flexibility to go wherever they want.
Yeah, those empty nesters, are they downsizing when they do that? Are they?
They're downsizing, but what we tend to see is they are the ones that like to rent the 2 and 3 bedrooms, and the millennials like to rent the studios and 1 bedroom, so it's kind of a nice mix.
Yeah, the concern about the millennials has always been the student debt, the overwhelming student debt that they have, and sort of trying to get their financial footing.
It's a real issue. I mean, the statistics for each graduating class that we're tracking, it continues to rise at a pretty exponential rate, and it is impacting their ability really to apply for home ownership.
Every time you're here, I always ask you the question, and we mentioned Amazon earlier. Do you know anything that we don't know that you can? Any secret information?
I don't. I wish I did, yeah. But it's definitely a hot topic that everybody likes to talk about. I really hope Chicago gets it.
Greg, always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next time.
You too, Steve. Thanks.
Greg Worsink is a Senior Vice President and Senior Regional Manager for the Chicago Market for Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation that we do every Thursday. You can listen to past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thoughtleadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear even more conversations there.